Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is the noon hour on Wednesday.
Yes, it is noon on Wednesday. It's time for opinions that help you find your boat and lost remote. I don't know what I'm doing. All right. So
what did
first
you just
one,
say, find
I float your boat, find your lost remote. That's what I was looking for.
Okay.
The first one is this. We buy too much junk and then blame the economy for being broke. That is sent in from Hater Boomer 64. No, I don't know who it's from. It's from a texter. Look, yes, that's sure. True.
Yes, we a lot of people do
buy
that.
Junk. And then blame the economy. Some people do that. Some people are maxed out on their credit cards because they have a nice house, but it's not enough. And they need to fill it up with cool stuff, and it's not enough. Mm-hmm. But also a lot of people out there are just struggling because the price of everything keeps going up.
Yes.
And while that might have started with junk that you don't need, that is translated into when eggs were too expensive or milk went up or gas went up in price. And now it's not junk. Now it's everything is more expensive. And honestly, some of the cheapest things you can find are junk. Every fast food place has some $6, $5 deal that you can go and use every day and get a meal that's now cheaper than a meal you get at a grocery store.
Yeah, and it used to be that it was okay if you had like fun money that you just spent on stuff because this is why we work. Mm-hmm. And then the prices of things went up, and now that hurts more.
Where's
that
your expendable
fun money,
income?
Yeah, yep. It's not there like it used to be.
Nope.
I make myself crazy in the amount of, and I'm absolutely not proud of this, but the amount of food that I end up throwing away out of my fridge. And just because I don't like going to the grocery store every 2 or 3 days. And so I go once a week, and then I don't eat all the broccoli. I didn't want broccoli that many days as I thought I was going to. It's stupid how much I throw away.
We have this problem with, like, Finn is a very picky eater and always has been. Henry is a little bit picky, but because he's a teenager, either he'll eat everything we have and will be out of food within a couple of days, or he'll be like, I'm not really hungry. I don't know. I'm not that hungry. And he just won't eat. And so we'll have just leftovers. We had leftover chili. Katie made a gigantic pot of chili last week that was there. And I ended up eating all of it because he wouldn't touch it anymore.
Didn't freeze it?
We also are running out of room in our freezer because we keep having to do that.
Then you need another freezer.
Yeah. We need a deep freeze in the garage. And then we need a bigger garage.
Yes.
So, yeah. Quentin, I'm sure you have something to say to this person about this.
I do.
Yep.
Part of it is not necessarily their fault. It's that, you know, things are not as good as they used to be as I get on my old man, you know, montage.
Get off my lawn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, things aren't as good. Like furniture now compared to furniture.
It's cheap.
I have an end table that was my great grandmother's.
Yep.
And it's still great.
Yep.
So where, you know, I have another one that is a POS. So, you know, that I bought when I was in college. So
everything
it's getting real flaky.
Yeah. It's you're right. It's also that, oh, hey, TVs are cheaper than ever, and they stop working after 3 years, or you start to get size envy and you see that your friend has a 77 inch TV and you're like, but I can't even watch TV on mine. I can't even enjoy my 55 inch one anymore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not just junk that people are going broke on. A lot of people are going broke on rent.
Oh,
rent is going up.
Rent, yeah. I was just saying increases in things.
That's
just
the biggest one.
Like, I'm waiting for Evergy to go up. And so you hear about, like, these utilities are only going to go up, and it's only going to be $5 a month, $10. But if they all go up that much, and that's every month, that adds up to a lot.
It's an, yeah. So
this
yeah.
is why I'm concerned about that, the Kansas City Star building turning into a
server.
A server building. Yeah. Because if you look around the country, all of these places that got servers in their city, there everybody's electricity goes up because those servers have to use so much electricity. So our electric bills around the metro are going to go up.
Why do they all have to go up?
Because they build new plants for the servers, and then they charge us for building the plants.
Charge Amazon for it.
Yeah, but that's because what happens is Evergy, or whatever the power company in the area is, the way that it works is that these companies get paid. And part of the way that they can get paid is that they say, hey, we had to invest X amount into our infrastructure. Yep.
Same thing happened with the Panasonic plant in DeSoto.
Yeah.
Like, we have our own problems in Missouri, but in Kansas, you have the Panasonic problem, which Evergy is having to build new infrastructure to support Panasonic. But in Kansas, you all are paying
for it.
It's
going to be the exact same thing, except these servers just, they eat electricity like nobody's business.
And when are people going to realize that that's not capitalism? Like, I say,
what do we gain out of that?
It makes me crazy. Like, if you were a human being and your family needed electricity to live in an area, but hey, we're by moving to that area, we're making sure teachers have jobs. We're making sure the grocery store is selling more stuff. We provide a lot. We provide a lot of revenue just by moving there. So what we should get is free electricity, or you should have to build a plant to help us. And they would go, oh, no, you shouldn't get free anything. That's socialism. But for some reason, when a company like Evergy or whoever does it, they're like, well, we need to build this because this plant's moving here. So we could pay that, but we're not going to pay the cost of that because why should we? We can pass it on to you.
Remember when you and I, was it last week we had a conversation we were trying to solve, like, the tax code? And we said, if it's something that you need, it should be free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Power.
Power. There you go.
Internet.
Utilities.
Utilities should be free because we have to have them.
Have to have them. Can't work without them. All right. Next one. Unpopular opinion. Popular feeds ruin apps.
Feeds?
I think what they're trying to say is, like, the For You feed. On anything.
Yeah. They all
Facebook
have it. For
or
You
Twitter.
Versus
trending, whatever. Ruin apps. It's the same reheated trends on a loop. I don't feel like I'm discovering anything anymore. I'm just being forced to read crap.
Well, then just go to the other tab, which is just the people you follow.
Yeah. So they're wrong that they ruin apps. They've made apps more addictive. And I guess they've ruined it in that respect. But but it's as far as just going to another tab, it's the problem is people don't want instinctively, yes, know that this is bad for you. Know that it's bad in the For You thing, because if you're a Democrat, they're going to put a bunch of Republican stuff in there to make you angry. If you're a Republican, they're going to put a bunch of Democrat stuff in there to make you feel like I need to respond to this idiot. Actually, the new trick is having somebody that you agree with responding to something that you don't agree with, so that then you get into the comments and start responding to people. Right. And it also, I have this problem. I have this morbid curiosity. I want to see what people think. So when I see
a news story or
see some comment that's blowing up, I'm like, I want to see what are the top comments on this? What are people saying? It's never good.
No.
It's always awful.
Text line. We were just talking about that earlier, how one text can just...
We have a really fun segment, hundreds of texts, all fun,
Travis
positive.
Travis Kelce's amazing, awesome.
And then just one in there. One.
He's the worst.
Yeah. One, because, you know, if you're eating a bowl of cereal and there's just one drop of pee in it, well, it's ruined. Anyway, but popular feeds, that stuff, the apps, they are the worst. And they know what they're doing to us and they don't care. They know it keeps us on the app longer. That's all they care about. It's this cynical, insane, almost slave-like attitude towards us. And we just put up with it because what we're going to do, regulate them? That's not happening.
It's easier to complain.
Jacuzzis look luxurious, but they're actually neck-cramping bubble cauldrons with bad ergonomics.
Wow, there was a lot to that.
That is an unpopular opinion.
What?
I don't know about neck cramp. I don't think I've had a neck cramp.
The only way you're getting a neck cramp is if it's your fault. If you lay your head back.
Okay.
For too long.
I guess you do.
What was the thing we talked about the other day where you can extend your neck too hard?
Yeah. From having your hair washed at the salon.
Yes. Same idea. Your head goes, but just don't do that.
Yeah. There you go. Problem solved.
Jacuzzis are like boats. You want your friend to have one, but I never want to have one myself.
Same with the pool. Yeah, I never want to have a pool.
That's a great observation.
Yeah. Anyways, they're delightful. Turn the jets on.
Yeah.
And,
I don't know. There are a lot of maintenance, apparently. It's basically like having a pool.
Yeah, just small.
Yeah. But I don't know. Anything with that much water
in it's going to be a lot of maintenance.
Grayson have a jacuzzi? Yeah.
He was in it a lot.
Was he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. He had back problems, he has back problems. Right?
And it seemed like it was kind of a party thing, too. We're partying in the hot tub.
By the way, update on him. He's still not out of the country.
The visa appointment? I thought it was going
to
be soon.
He's in New York City. I was just talking to him yesterday. He's in New York City. I think just for a final trip to New York City.
Huh.
And then he thinks they're leaving around the 9th. I hope I'm not divulging anything, John, if you're listening. But
was the visa appointment scheduled?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
I think they're in New York City for the visa appointment and also to see New York one last time. Okay. And then maybe leaving on the 9th. Anyway, back to this. Unpopular opinions. Paywalls. I teased this earlier. We'll talk about this a little bit and then go to break and come back. Paywalls are not greed. They're how local reporters get paid so your city hall gets covered. If we didn't have paywalls, we wouldn't have local reporting anymore. Well, this is a bit of a conundrum because we have paywalls and we also don't have local reporting. So it's the worst of both worlds. Congratulations.
Also, KMBZ doesn't have a paywall. Mm-hmm. We are just open air radio.
Yep.
And we sell advertising in order to pay all of us.
Yep.
Can they not do the same?
I guess not, because if they could, they would.
That's
the problem is look at the websites that we use for news every day that we use for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have interesting stories, and we use those stories. Some of them are incredibly annoying. They are almost unnavigable. I would actually rather deal with the paywalls because there's ways around people with their, I can't watch, if I'm not paying $20 a month, I'm not going to be able to watch this show. There's ways around everything, guys.
Right.
There's ways around paywalls. I'll just tell you that right now. But it would almost be worth subscribing to not deal with the ads. The New York Post is unnavigable.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that site.
Yeah.
There's interesting stories on it all the time. The way they write stories is terrible, which is also fun because then I can make fun of how terrible the stories are written on air.
It's like they're all written by a bunch of 17-year-old interns.
But I can't, whenever I load a link from the New York Post, my computer immediately slows down.
Oh, I don't have that problem.
Because it opens like 15 different ads at once.
Oh, I must have an ad blocker, maybe.
I have an ad blocker. They still find ways around it. And then if you scroll down, the ad stays in the middle of the page.
That's a problem.
So you can't. And then you have to go up and down three times to get rid of it. Like it's a magic trick. It's so annoying.
Then usually what I'll do is I'll just, because they'll link to wherever they got this. And then I'll just click on wherever the link is and get it from the original place. I'm conflicted about this also. Mm. Because yay, local journalism.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely. But, man, it's very rare that I'm willing to, that I care that much that I'm going to do the paywall. The New York Times I have done because there is so much content on their site and their stories.
And it's well written
and the stories are long and there's a wide variety of things. And I think it's $4 a month.
Yep.
Okay. I couldn't even tell you, maybe this is an obvious question. Is a subscription to get the actual Kansas City Star the same as what you pay for an online subscription?
I think that's additive. Are you saying if you pay to get around the paywall?
Yeah. Is that the same as what I pay for?
Is it the same as having the paper delivered to your house?
Is it the same price?
Oh, it's the same price. I don't
know. Is one cheaper than the other?
Yeah. I haven't had a newspaper delivered to my house ever as an adult.
Ever. Yeah. Boy, who else is like that? Who has never had, I mean, we're in our mid 40s. Yeah. Who else has
I've lived on my own since 2001. I've never had a paper delivered. I used to deliver papers and it still never occurred to me because I've always had the news online. I mean,
that used to be a job like the kids had was to go and deliver papers early in the morning that we don't.
Yep. I used to. 913-586-7798. So yeah, are paywalls worth it for news sites and things like that? Are they worth it or should they just go back to flooding your face with advertising that you have to kind of navigate around just to see a little hint of a story? Talk about that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We're doing unpopular opinions, bit of a touchy subject perhaps, about the paywalls that exist. Not for us, obviously, but for other media.
Yeah, because we are, I guess, us and over-the-air TV.
That's it.
That's it.
That's
pretty much it.
Yeah.
I guess podcasts. To an extent, but
depending on where you're getting them,
or if you're not getting the subscriber version of it or whatever, and right. So many of them doing that. Yeah, it's crazy. But paywalls, somebody texted in that paywalls are not greed, they're how local reporters get paid, so your city hall gets covered. The only thing I really do and will 10 toes down agree with on that is that people think it's being greedy. It's not being greedy because. It's just a different way
it's
of trying to raise
stream.
Money.
Yeah.
You just, it's, we want our reporting to not be blanketed in crappy advertising that, by the way, and I, cause I had to do this at a former station. We had to do a lot of blogging. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like that type of clickbait clicking. What is it called? A chum box.
Yes.
Where there's an article like this guy cured cancer by drinking water 5 times a day. Mm-hmm. And one other thing, what did he do? And it's, you click on it and it's nonsense.
Yeah.
Those things just aren't effective. People don't click on them. People have gotten wise to the fact that online advertising, you're just going to breeze past it or put up an ad blocker so you don't see it.
Right.
So they need some way to make money.
Also, I mean, it's not like I cannot think of a single newspaper in the country that's like flush with cash.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not, I mean, quite frankly, just like a lot of media in general, they're not flush with cash. They're not doing it to be greedy. They're doing it because they need to survive. I just wish, I don't know why it annoys me so much, because it does. In fact, I will say it out, like the Washington Post is paywalls everything.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get past it, to the point, and I just get, maybe because it's such a big newspaper, and that, do better than that.
Isn't the Washington Post owned by Jeff Bezos?
Yep.
So that might be why.
He doesn't have any money.
Yeah, he's broke. So the alternative to that, like what can they do? Because one of the other problems is, as you just pointed out, Jeff Bezos buying the Washington Post or all of your local independent, what used to be independent local newspapers being bought by like Knight Ritter and other big syndicators. And then they just, they pare it down to only 3 pages of actual content, and then it's filled with ads. So people stop reading the actual newspaper every day. And even then, if they were scrolling through it, you know, you're still seeing way too many ads. I don't know where that local reporting is going to come from, because it needs to come from somewhere. It's a real problem.
Tell me this. Is there an equivalent, or could there be an equivalent for newspapers of the barter system that we have in broadcast, where you trade airtime, like you give a company airtime in exchange for, like they get to air ads and then we, and then they cut us a check. I can't remember how exactly that works.
Oh, you mean like where we, they,
like there's not money involved, but
right. Well, I'm not sure. I mean, the barter usually means it's somebody who buys airtime to sell their own ads
right
on a station. So they buy the airtime and then sell, then they go out and find people who want to advertise on the station.
So here's what I could, here's what I'm imagining is like, I think rather than, I'm trying to think of what I would rather do than go through a paywall. Mm-hmm. Ask me to do a 5-question survey.
Yeah.
And a company is paying the newspaper
for
them to put up the survey. So it's kind of an ad,
yeah,
but it's not a paywall, but I'll answer your 5-question survey about what time I go to bed or what camera I use at home or whatever.
Well, I think what it just needs to happen is just a decentralization of the news media. And I hope that happens, just like it's to an extent has happened in our industry with radio. There's a lot of podcasts out there. There's a lot of, you know, instead of, you know, listening to a sports station, you can listen to some sports podcasts. And if you like music, well, you can go listen to music podcasts and see what people who actually are in the industry and want to make money independently have to say. I think that just happens to happen with the written word. And there are things to do that with. There's Substack, which is a pretty cool. It's basically you charge people for a newsletter.
Right.
And you could fund independent media through that way, but you're getting paying for it.
Right.
But I don't see the problem. That's the thing too. I don't see the problem with paying for it. It's just for our purposes here, it's kind of infuriating.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough reporting in the KC Star.
Right.
Or even locally to fill 4 hours of a show. And so we need to go out, and we couldn't possibly pay for all of the different websites that we need to get our content from.
And I mean, we've taken the hit too. I mean, local reporting has taken a hit in broadcast, TV and radio as well. I mean,
people, we have a newsroom that's empty now. There used to be full of people.
And that's in part because, like you said, it's so fragmented now. You have so many, you know, it used to be 3 or 4 radio stations were the only game in town. And now you've got 50 competitors for that money because social takes it, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Which I really wish that advertisers would wake up to how ineffective digital advertising is.
But it's cheap.
It's cheap, but it's ineffective. Yeah. Like, so what if you're saving money on it?
Yeah.
So what? Like, if it doesn't work, it's not helping you. Stop spending money on click-throughs that nobody's clicking on. Mm-hmm. Like, that was, again, I'm just saying this from my perspective from the former station I used to work on. They had us doing blogs, and they wanted us to have, they had a page count that we need to hit every year of views. I mean, page views. And not every year, but every quarter. It was like 1 million, then 1.5 million, then 2, then 2.5 million. It kept going up. And we kept spending more of our time working on that than we were on a radio show. And the whole reason why is because, well, we're selling advertising on those blogs.
Right.
And then suddenly people started to realize, wait, nobody's clicking on these ads.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Like, this isn't, and then increasingly when the economy started going down, that's where people started spending less money. I don't know. It's just frustrating. It's frustrating seeing the whole process play out.
And I'm trying to remember, like, when did it start to get that way for print? And it was just when you had more and more websites pop up, you know, more and more ways to get your local news that weren't just through the newspaper.
I mean, they were the first ones to be hit by
They were the first
because
ones,
the internet initially was all print.
Right.
It
was the easiest to do. And then
didn't have a lot of video and audio on it originally. It was mostly print.
Yeah.
So anyway,
God,
I started
off bummed out and
end on this one. Wasps deserve some respect. They pollinate plants and eat pests that wreck gardens and crops. Did you thought you meant white Anglo-Saxon Protestants?
I was like, what are we? Okay.
Yeah.
Now it makes more sense.
White people deserve more respect.
Yeah.
I say for my horse with a sheet on it. No, wasps deserve some respect because they pollinate plants and eat pests that wreck gardens and crops.
Uh-uh.
Unpopular opinion. I don't care.
Uh-uh. I don't care. They are invasive. They're mean.
Yes.
They hurt.
They're jerks.
They gather together. You and I both had an experience with like a wasp infestation, right? You've had that too. Yeah. Yep. Mine was in a chimney.
Ours was in our house.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
And they were coming in. The flue, we learned later, didn't close. Like there was a gap.
Yeah.
And that's where the, and so that's how they were getting in. They were building a nest in the top of the, chimney. Mm-hmm. And I remember laying in bed at night and hearing the fluttering in my curtains of wasps in my house.
Yeah.
No. They can all
yeah.
Skip that part of the food chain.
No, here's some positives to wasps. They pollinate plants and kill other things. Yeah, well, Stalin bought a lot of wine. So yeah. What? Like, we shouldn't have been happy that he died because the wine industry suffered. I don't care.
Bees are better.
Bees are just better.
Bees are
thank
way
you very
better.
Much. Yeah. Wasps are the Stalin
yeah.
of insects.
They're just so mean.
Yeah.
And my neighbors just found... maybe all of you knew this, but they just found a wasp's nest in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
That happens.
No, yeah. they burrowed like mud daubers. Is that what they're called?
Yeah. Mud daubers.
Mud daubers.
Yeah. They burrow like they were picking flowers and they discovered a wasp's nest in the ground.
Yeah, they burrowed into the side of my house.
What jerks.
People like you'll not be here. Like mowing your grass and the vibrations of your lawnmower.
Yep.
Will disturb the wasps in the ground.
The biggest argument I had with my landlord at my former house, not my current one, my former house, was we had this giant wasp nest in this bush mm-hmm. by the sidewalk. We lived next to school, so kids and their parents were walking by our house every day, and there was a wasp nest right there. And I saw it. Katie pointed out to me. I went out and looked at it. I called him, and I was like, hey, you need to take care of this. And he was like, well, it's going to be cold soon. So that I think it'll just kind of take care of itself. And I was like, AJ, that was the landlord's name. As I'm talking to you, a child is fleeing for their life down the sidewalk, screaming and hitting themselves in the head because mm-hmm. they just got attacked by a wasp. So you're going to either take care of this or you're going to have a huge lawsuit on your hands.
Yeah.
And he went, fine.
Like, they're not that hard to get rid of.
Yeah, well, that's the other. He's like, can't you do it? I was like, can't you be a landlord?
You just like,
I'm not doing this.
Buy wasp killer, and then at dusk, when they're all in their little disgusting hive,
sure.
mm-hmm. you just spray it.
I ain't doing that.
I've done it twice.
Congratulations. You're more man than me. Yeah. Coming up, speaking of pets, Casey Pet Project has opened up an area for the first time since COVID.
This is fascinating.
This is very encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about this next on Midday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Phone number here, 913-586-7798 if you want in. Okay, I'm really curious about how this is going to go with Casey Pet Project. So If you go to the Casey Pet Project facility, I think it's technically on Elwood, but it's out towards Swope Park. It's that beautiful brand new building. When you first walk in, you think, oh, maybe I want to adopt a dog or I want to foster a dog. You go in, you check in at this little desk, and there's the coffee shop. There's places that you can sit down. There's a little shop there. And then they have four kennels off on the left that have dogs in them. And they're usually dogs that need a little more attention. And then there's a big, like, you know, when you go to the mall or somewhere like that, there's a touchscreen that you can flip through. They have these big kiosks that have the touchscreens and you can flip through and you can see every dog that they have at their facility. Mm-hmm. What you have not been able to do is go past that point.
Yeah.
You can't go where all the dogs are being held and all the cat. Well, I don't know what they do with cats, but you can't go back into where all the dogs are. You can't just walk through those hallways and look at the dogs. And my understanding of that was that because doing so, especially when you get a lot of people back there, causes additional stress on those dogs. They see you coming. You know, kids will tap on the glass or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a lot of excitement.
Well, they think they're going with somebody too.
Right. You stop, you look, and then you keep going. It's a lot of emotion for those dogs to deal with. On the other hand, I get why you want to let people do that. It's a lot more influential to see the dog right there than have to look through a screen and then take him outside and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it'd be just look at this picture of this car. Don't test drive it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, usually when you see, like, they'll bring
oh,
you.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's yards and stuff that you can go meet the dog.
Okay.
But they used to do it this way where you could just walk through, but then in COVID, they closed off all those areas and left it that way. As of this Friday, you will again, as the public, be able to go through the dog adoption areas and walk through and see adoptable dogs at the shelter. I have no clue how other shelters do it. What does Wayside Waves do? How does everybody else do it? Can you just walk through?
I mean, I haven't been there since 2019, but when we went, yeah, you just walk through.
I wonder if other shelters stopped that with COVID or if
maybe
everybody else brought it back. But
yeah, from the dog's point of view, I feel if you're not one of the dogs that was getting picked, then you just never saw anybody.
Right.
Or, you know,
I mean, they take them out on walks every day and
I know, but it was just the handlers. I mean, so like the excitement a dog would have meeting a new person.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for them.
And I get the argument here. The CEO of Casey Pet Project told Fox 4 that people often come to the shelter with preconceived ideas about the type of dog they want. And that by allowing visitors to walk through the dog adoption areas and see the dogs themselves, they're able to make eye contact. Other dogs will get their attention that maybe they wouldn't have thought about ahead of time. And I'm sure it helps with their adoption rates.
Yeah.
I'm certain they'll go up.
That's the biggest thing.
And they need that. I mean, Casey Pet Project is almost always at capacity. It makes me nervous every time I see them announce that. They're almost always full.
What happens when they're full?
I don't know what their exact process is.
Yeah.
I assume some of it is you call other shelters and you say, do you have room? But let's just not find out.
Yeah, never mind.
I don't know what point they would euthanize. I don't want to speak for them on that.
It appeals to the community for help through fostering and adoption events.
Yeah.
If the overcrowding persists, the shelter may have to take difficult actions.
Yes.
And a no-kill policy does not mean zero euthanasia, as it is a last resort in some situations.
Okay. And usually it is a last resort, and usually it's for dogs that that have troubles or high risk or and things like that.
Yeah, okay.
So I like this. This is going to help more dogs be adopted. They're absolutely right. When you walk in and you think you want this kind of dog, and then before you get to that one dog, you see these three others that it wouldn't have occurred to if you didn't see them. They said they are going to take a careful, thoughtful approach to how visitors move through the space. My guess is they're going to limit the number of people at a time. They said even brief positive interactions can make a difference for dogs who spend long days in the shelter. They're going to let you, in some cases, like give treats, walk through the kennels and reward dogs with treats during their visit, which is great. I've never done it. I've been to the Casey Pet Project many times and I've never just walked through the kennels.
I would caution people, don't do what I did and go, hey, let's just go look at some dogs today. go in with the mindset that you're going to go home with one of these dogs. Because, yeah, that's literally why we wound up with Gordon, because Henry just wanted to see some dogs. And I was like, okay, let's go look at dogs. And we went out and I was like, came home with a dog and an argument.
It's not a zoo. If you want to go look at animals, right, go to the zoo.
Exactly.
These are creatures that have been through a lot. Yep. I mean, if they're in a shelter, they've been through a lot. Mm-hmm. You don't know how long they've been there. You don't know, did they have bad experiences with men? Did they have bad experiences with women? Did they have bad, experiences with kids? You don't know what their triggers are, that kind of thing. I remember the only time I've ever done it was a little bit was I brought my friend's son with me and he wanted to see puppies. And they were like, okay, we'll send a volunteer back there with you. You can only look at this one kennel of puppies. Don't tap on the glass because that'll freak them out. I mean, all this kind of stuff. So I have mixed feelings about this, but it's good.
It will, I think it's good.
They've trained their staff. I mean, they approached this thoughtfully. Right. So,
all right.
Anyway, that starts Fantastic. This Friday.
And whenever we have Wayside Waifs again in here, we'll have to ask them like how they do this.
Yeah.
If it's changed there. So like I said, when I went, it was not even, I think I said 2019, it was 2016.
Yeah. Otherwise you just look online.
Yeah.
Which is not the same thing always.
All right. Coming up, college students are studying less, and Harvard goes, what, you got a problem with that? You got a problem with people studying less?
Harvard.
It's like, yeah, we know they're not studying as much. So what? What are you going to do? Pay less tuition for your fancy degree? We'll talk about that next on Midday.
All right. This conversation comes to us out of the Harvard Crimson, which is the newspaper for Harvard University. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, the writing of this is making me want to throw things in part because it's kind of like superior. It's kind of written in like a superior way, which I get that it's coming from Harvard. It's kind of overwritten in a way that's sort of annoying. The language is a little...
Where
it's a little more high level than it needs to be here.
The language screams, we don't need a paywall. We don't even need advertising.
Right.
We're the Harvard Crimson.
Right. So the editorial here calls out the New York Times, which published a story suggesting that Harvard students are skipping their classes and still getting A's. And the Crimson editorial argues, hey, it's not just us.
Yeah.
We're just willing to tell you that we are doing it. And they cite evidence and they link to it that says grades have steadily risen at universities nationwide for decades and that students are spending fewer hours per week on academics. And they said the trends didn't come from nowhere. They're a response to pressures that have only grown more force. They're justifying it
basically
and saying, why is this a big deal?
So,
lay off us.
Yeah. So here's the thing is I actually don't disagree with, I don't like their attitude.
Yeah.
But I don't disagree with them overall that, students are spending less time on academics. Students are spending less time studying. But what has happened since when the basis for the study is over like 60 years.
Yeah.
What has happened is it's easier to get the information you need and process it than it used to be. So it used to be you had to find a book and find the spot in the book that you were, and then write all your notes down and everything like that. Now you can keep the notes and everything in one app. You can put everything in nice sortable ways and you can study more efficiently. You can learn more efficiently. So you don't need to spend as much time studying as you used to.
The dark side of me says you could look at it the other way and say, they're not studying less, they're cheating more, which technology also allows for.
Is it
more?
So,
and I don't know which is true, but that's another way to look at it.
That's fair. I mean, there's also, they aren't saying it's a huge escalation since like the last couple of years. So AI is doing all this, right? This is just an escalation over like 60 years.
Yeah.
So I agree with you, though I would wonder about terms. Like, is it cheating? Used to be, it was cheating if you're using a calculator. Because you know what? You're not going to, how many of our teachers told us that?
Right.
Math teachers, you're not going to have a calculator with you everywhere you go.
Well, you could ask, I think when I say cheating, maybe my first thought is plagiarism.
Yeah.
is using ChatGPT to write your papers and do that kind
cheating.
Of thing.
That's not doing your own work.
Right. My guess is there's more of that. Mm-hmm. I also wonder, are classes easier than they used to be? And so students don't, I have no idea, but there, I feel like there are a lot of factors that go into that.
Yeah.
That just because students are spending less time on class doesn't mean they're not learning as much.
I mean, and then I guess the bigger question is, how does this affect the outside world? Because if you're going to Harvard and getting a degree, but then you go out in the world, are they now underqualified? Or and Harvard's point is, it's not just us, it's everybody. Are you going out in the world underqualified now and you have no idea what you're getting into? And then you end up back at college in a few years because you realize that major wasn't right for you and you shouldn't have gone into that career.
And I would ask, does having Harvard on your resume mean less than it used to for that reason? If they think you didn't have to study as hard to get the grades that you got, is Harvard not considered as much of an elite school as it used to be?
Which is probably why they're saying, hey, no, everybody's doing this.
Because of how much they're paying for it.
Yeah.
And so is it worth the money that they're paying to go to Harvard?
Yeah.
Or should you just go to like Illinois State like I went to?
I had a very quick partnership with Harvard and I got went on campus, met a lot of people, met like the dean for what the hell was it, athletics or something, met a bunch of students, and I realized something. 18-year-old kids are idiots.
No offense,
but man, I was so excited. Now, having said that, I also did some stuff with MIT when I was out there. Those kids are freaks. The Harvard kids, I was like, these kids, 18-year-olds are idiots everywhere. Those MIT kids were terrifying.
Did Zuckerberg go to MIT and then Harvard? I can't remember.
I think he did both. Yeah.
Just saying.
Just terrifying people. Coming up, somebody who's very nice, not terrifying at all. We're going to have Carmion Hamilton from HGTV. Reno, my rental, will be joining us in just a few minutes on Midday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.